Hey there.
Hello.
My name is Ben, and I can throw the javelin further than Anderson Peters.
My name is Anderson. I'll be conducting the interview today.
Yeah, shall we do that? Role reversal. I'll be the javelin world champion, yeah. And then you can be the interviewer.
Yeah.
Okay, we good to go? Yeah. Hello and welcome to another episode of the World Athletics Podcast. I'm Ben Harlow, and on today's episode is javelin world champion Anderson Peters. Anderson was a really analytical and interesting guy. What really shocked me was his insight and knowledge of the sport and how technical he is as an athlete. But also, he's a really fun and exciting guy. You can tell he really loves the sport and it is his passion. And I think that really resonates in the interview. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
So what was it like becoming the world champion?
It was an amazing feeling. I honestly, my whole life, I kind of trained to be more of a media journalist type person, but I just kind of was in Doha and the world championships were happening and I saw this javelin and I just like walked onto the field and threw it, and I threw it way further than everybody. I became world champion. What about you?
Amazing. Well, before I started that, I started like basically just looking at old videos, looking at old like funny interviews and stuff, and decided that I wanted to be the funny guy on the TV. So I got into this thing.
Weirdly accurate. on a serious note, you've had an amazing year. You really burst onto the scene, but I'm really interested in where it all kind of came from, because you're from Grenada, which isn't a traditionally a throwing destination, probably fair to say. How did your athletics career start out?
Well, I started as a javelin thrower in 2012. Like, I started training like right after the Olympics, because I saw Keyshawn Walcott become
the coach. I knew you were going to
say that. Yeah, I saw Keyshawn Walcott become the Olympic champion. And I'm like, man, if he could do it, then I could do it too. Because his country is like 30 minutes of flying like from my country. So like, if he could do it, then I could do it. I think his performance in the Olympics this past few years has been an eye-opener to young Caribbean athletes. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the Caribbean has been dominating more on the sprint side. But like, gradually started moving to the field events. So we have Keyshawn, we have Daniela from the shot put, and then me now. So
yeah.
And then Frederick Dakers from the discus. So we're kind of like trading over to the throws right now. But because Keyshawn won the Olympics, I feel like I could do it too. So I spent like the next 4 years preparing for the Olympics, for the 2016 Olympics. Didn't qualify. I only did 79, 65, but I won a bronze medal in the World Juniors.
That's what you want to hear.
Yeah. Didn't make the Olympics. The next year, like, started training for the World Championship. Improved my PR to 84 meters, made the World Championship. But went to London and I underperformed so bad. I did 78 meters.
That was your first world championship experience?
Yeah, first world championship. I mean, it was crazy being able to be on the field, like looking at the guys like in person. Like, I've been looking at you on YouTube for so long. You're actually here in person right now. So I was kind of like starstruck. Mm-hmm. And then I was in the stadium. Like, the stadium was like full to capacity at every session. Morning and evening session. Yeah. So you're talking about 60,000 people. Like, I've never seen so much people at one place in my life. So I was like, I mean, it was a rookie season for me. And then came the 2018 season, kind of a down year. Uh-huh. But after, like, I was able to do 82 meters a year.
That's still like, I mean, how old are you right now?
22.
See, you're younger than me. I think, you know, I'm 23 and I think that I'm still a child, basically. Like, you've got out there, won medals at World Juniors, gone to London World Championships, came back 2 years later, and now look at you now. So, rewinding a little bit, because we kind of skipped ahead quite fast.
Yeah.
Who got you into athletics?
Well, like, in my country, the culture is like every kid is exposed to track and field at a young age. Like, we're exposed to the major sport we're exposed to as a child is track and field, soccer, and cricket.
Yeah.
We're exposed to those things like immediately. Mm-hmm. And eventually, like, we start branching off. Like, but me, I like track and field, but I like cricket also. Mm-hmm. So I would, like, they had two different seasons. So I'm going to play cricket this season and then do track and field the next semester, which is like track season.
Did you like bowling?
Bowling?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm terrible at bowling.
But you're a thrower. I figured that you maybe bowl.
I just can't get it right.
See, this is why you're a javelin thrower.
Yeah.
what did you like in cricket?
I was a fast bowler. Mm-hmm. Like, I just like the idea of, like, you know, throwing the ball at something, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I could bowl the ball so fast that the batsman wouldn't have an opportunity to see it. So I was always trying to, like, bowl a 90 miles an hour ball, even though I couldn't as a young kid, but I was trying to. But what really started me in track and field was, like, when I started track and field, Usain Bolt just broke the world record. Mm-hmm. That was the year he broke the world record the first time.
2008.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I wanted to be the next Usain Bolt. So I was a sprinter at first.
How fast is your 100 meter PB?
Right now it's 10.6.
10.6. I feel like you could get it down a little bit.
To be a sprinter, I have to get it down. But I kept getting injured, like, mm-hmm. like repeatedly, like season after season. So I was like, I'm getting injured too much. Like, I can't be, you know, risking it so often. So my coach decided that, hey, we're going to try something new. We're going to try, like, let's try a field event. Mm-hmm. We actually tried all the field events. Well,
really?
Except hammer throw.
Yeah, which you did pole vault.
No, all the throws.
Oh, all the throws. I thought you said all the field events.
Yeah,
right?
All the throws.
I was going to say, I quite like to see you pole vault.
No. we don't pole vault. But yeah, we tried the three throws. Like, I was pretty good at all three of them, mm-hmm. up to a certain age. But once the shot put became like the 16 pound, like, I had to back out of that. Yeah, that was too heavy for me.
Mate, I could barely lift a shot put.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I feel I'm right there with you. So I backed out of the shot put, eventually backed out of the discus, mm-hmm. and stuck with the javelin. And javelin really took off for me in 2013. I went to the World Youth Championship held in Donetsk, Ukraine.
How was that? So it was your first international?
Yeah, it was my first international. It was pretty good. I finished ninth.
Made the final, though.
Yeah, made the final, but it was okay. Like,
did you expect to do better?
Yeah, I expected to do better, but, like, at that point in time, I didn't know, like, what the competition around the world really was.
Did you have any idea going into it, like, what the other guys were throwing?
Some of the guys, but then, like, get into the... Like, you never know, like, it's on the day.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, of course.
Yeah, the guy that won, he won with 78 meters. Like, that was... To me, that was crazy. I've never seen a javelin go 78 meters until that moment, like, in person.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that was a great moment for me.
You seem to know a lot of the statistics around... Are you quite analytical?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as a javelin thrower, I think you kind of have to be, mm-hmm. like, you... Like, there is, like, you... going to be analyzing, like, videos, like you're going to be doing something, like, you're going to analyze your videos, analyze your competitors' videos, analyze videos from history, the world record, like, you're always analyzing.
What's your favorite thrower to analyze?
My favorite throw, like, would be, of course, the world record holder, Jens Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
But as for competing sake, my favorite throw would be Andreas Thorkildsen from Norway.
Okay, yeah. which time, or just generally?
Well, he was in, like, his season ended in 2013. He mm-hmm. had to retire because of hip injury, but he was pretty good. He has the Olympic record right now, 90 point something. But yeah, he was a pretty good throw. I liked him because he was, like, he was strong, mm-hmm. but, like, he didn't, like, go to the weight room a lot to become strong. He was like a gymnast. So he would, like, do the gymnastic stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it was crazy how flexible and strong he was. Like, I mean, right now the guy could bench press like 400 pounds easily.
What?
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
What do you bench press?
Oh, I bench
press. Is this too personal?
My max bench press is 345.
Okay, well.
Yeah, 400 pounds is a little too much.
So you talked about how he was in the weight room a lot.
Yeah.
Did you do weight room type stuff, or are you more gymnastics based as well?
I'm a more dynamic thrower, like weight, sprints, jumps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of like balance between all of them.
That's quite interesting. I'd never really thought about the types of throwers before. Can you break it down a little bit for me?
The types of javelin throwers basically are like, you have the speed throwers, which are basically like the smaller guys,
mm-hmm.
and they're just crazy fast for no reason. So they could use their speed and get the javelin to travel like at a faster velocity than than the stronger guys.
Who's a? Can you name a speed guy?
Who would be a speed guy in this era right now?
It's the guy from Chinese Taipei.
Yeah, Chinese Taipei. Yeah.
Xiaosen Cheng.
He's a speed.
He just seems fast. Yeah. On the runway.
Yep. Then we have like the strength throwers, like Andreas Hoffmann from Germany.
Yeah.
Big dude.
Yeah, really big dude.
Vedder, on the other hand, Vedder is like a mixture of both speed and strength. And then you have Thomas Roller, who's a technician.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a skinny guy, but he's like, his technique is crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have me, who is like kind of like in the middle of all of them, because I tried I took stuff from all of their technique to create mine.
And that's why he's the world champion.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were talking about Donetsk in the Ukraine, came ninth. When you came back, were you like, okay, I can do this as a career?
Yeah. Definitely. Because I was like, man, there's like, at the time I felt like ninth was good. But when I went back home and started thinking, I was like, I wonder what these guys are going to, like, how they're going to become. Like, I thought to myself that, hey, this is going to be the same guys I'm going to be competing with the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are around the same era.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to improve myself so I can beat them next time. So I know when the 2020 Olympics come or the 2021 World Championship come, I'll be one of the favorite.
So obviously you were super successful this year. Did you not anticipate your success to come so soon?
Well, to an extent, like the goal was always the 2020 Olympics, but like after the 2017 World Championship, after my disappointing performance, I decided that, hey, I'm going to get a medal in the 2019 World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Like even on the final day, like I knew I was going to get a medal, but I just didn't know what color it would be. Like, I was like, I told my coach, I was like, coach, I'm going home with a medal today. I don't know what color, but I'm going home with one today.
Which World Juniors did you go to?
The 2016 World Juniors, Bydgoszcz. Yeah.
And you got a medal there.
Yeah.
Who were you competing with?
The Neeraj Chopra from India.
He won with 86 meters.
Gobbler from South Africa.
Okay.
Man, he's a crazy dude. He improved his PR by 8 meters.
What?
To get the silver medal.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really, 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 really big.
Yeah, like this stuff don't happen.
No, never.
Yeah. But yeah, he improved his meters by, his PR by 8 meters to take the silver medal away from me. So I got bronze.
Hey, it's a step up from ninth place in Ukraine.
Yeah, definitely a step up.
So then you missed the Olympics.
Yes.
2017, you didn't even make it out of qualifying.
I was 28 overall.
Terribly. How did you deal with your performance afterwards? Were you annoyed, angry, or were you just like?
I remember it like it was yesterday. Like after the qualification round, like after walking out of the stadium, I didn't even go to my coach. I went straight back to the hotel. I didn't go for dinner. I didn't go for lunch for the remainder of the track meet. Like, I didn't leave my room at all. I was so disappointed. I didn't even watch the rest of the World Championship.
Really?
I was so disappointed. Like, at that time, I felt like I let myself down. I let my country down. I let my family down. But it was until, like, Lyndon Victor or Decathlete, he spoke. We were roommates, so he spoke to me about it. And he was like, write down what you did wrong in this meet. On like there was a card on the table, so I wrote down everything I did wrong, what I wanted to do, and up to this day I still have that card.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do you keep it?
Like I keep it in my book where I keep my journals, so I'm like I read it like all the time. It's just a reminder of what not to do.
So can you say what's on the list? Or is it private?
Private.
Maybe later. Yeah. Hey, you're mid-interview right now, hopefully really enjoying the episode. Whilst you're there, why don't you leave me a review and hopefully a 5-star rating? No, but seriously, we'd really appreciate it if you also followed us on our social media platforms. That's at World Athletics on basically all the platforms that exist on the internet. And you can find us there with a whole variety of different content from live streams to athlete interviews to great graphics. Yeah, we have it all. So go follow us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Yeah, all of those. You mentioned you have journals.
Yeah.
What are they on? Have you written the journals?
Well, it's basically on my development. Mm-hmm. Like, so like what I did when I was throwing 79 meters versus what I did when I was throwing 84 versus what I did when I was throwing 86 and 87. It's just a little different thing so that, like, if I'm having, like, a really tough season, I could go back to the adrenaline and see, like, and take, like, piss off, like, every year and make it, me and my coach could make it into one program so we could have, like, a better next year.
Okay.
So it's just for record's sake, you know, to fall back on. Like, if stuff goes really bad, then you have that to fall back on.
When did you meet your coach?
I met my coach for the first time in 2011.
Wow. So you've actually known him for a while.
Yeah, I've known him for a while. And it turns out that he and my mom went to school together.
Really?
Yeah. They're pretty good friends. Yeah.
What, really good friends?
Yeah, they're a really good friend.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
I mean, he didn't tell me they were really good friends, but when I told my mom about him, she was like, yeah, I know him. She was giving me the whole story about him. I'm like,
okay.
And when I asked him about it, he was like, yeah, I knew your mom a long time ago. That's why I'm being so hard on you. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's crazy. Yeah. Okay. I also read that you have two coaches.
Yeah.
Who's the other coach?
Coach named April Thomas at Mississippi State University is a university coach that I attend right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a pretty good coach. She also coaches Curtis Thompson.
Oh, okay.
Whose PR is 82.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyreek Hosford from Trinidad, whose PR is 78.
Okay.
He improved his PR from 69 meters to 78 meters in 1 year.
Wow.
Like training with me, Curtis, and Coach April.
Do you think she... Is that because of her, or is it the training dynamic, or?
I think it's a little bit of both because, you know, training with better guys than you. Like, if I was to be training with, like, Johannes Vetter or Thomas Roller, I'll definitely be, like, as good as they are. So I just think once your training partner is, like, at a certain level, like, you advance faster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once you surround yourself with people that are better than you, you tend to become better.
Do you think that's a thing where, basically, if you're around good people who have got the same goals as you all kind of progress together?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so that's why university, right?
Yeah.
You've got all this system. How have you found university?
Well, I was recruited back. They started actually recruiting me in 2015.
Oh, wow.
After the Pan Am Juniors.
Mm-hmm.
And I started there in 2017. I mean, the college system is pretty good. It's awesome. Like, there's nothing bad I could say about it. Like, it's pretty good. Like, facilities, the treatment, the way they treat athletes, like, everything is, like, perfect. It's like being, like, a semi-professional in college, yeah.
Obviously, you were part of the NCAA circuit, which is a pretty hardcore circuit to be on. And all the NCAA athletes, it seems at the end of every season, they are just so tired.
Yeah.
And you're competing all the time, competing for your university. This year you became NCAA champ?
Yeah, for the second time.
For the second time. How was that? For the first time first.
The first time it was like, the first time I just went crazy. I was just doing meets, doing all the meets. I just wanted to feel like what it really feel like doing all the meets. And it totally burns you out.
Yeah.
But the second year I decided that, hey, I'm gonna be smart about picking the meets. So I'm gonna compete, take a break, compete, you know, take breaks in between.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for javelin, the competition is not as stiff as it is as for sprinting and for the other guys. Like, if you're a sprinter, then you compete in with the best guys like all the time.
Yeah.
So you have to be putting out like max. You gotta go in like max potential every time, and I think that's what burns them out pretty fast. But if you're not as competing as often, then you'll be good because having to it's like Christian Coleman having to race Bolt like every weekend. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you have to go all out like all the time. And like, I think that's what it was with Grant Holloway and Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like every time they would have to race each other, it's like, man, it's like, oh man, I got to go run a PR today to beat this guy. And that's what it was. Like, it's just a competition. It's so competitive that the athletes tend to burn out at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. How did you find the move from a small island to the United States?
It was a drastic difference.
Yeah.
Stuff was more accessible. I don't know. It was just different. It took me a while to like be comfortable with everything being the way it was in the US versus the way it was in Grenada.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I came to the US and went back to Grenada, I started noticing like all the way that my country could develop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that happens to everybody that travels abroad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And moving forward, are you based in the US now completely or kind of half and half?
Kind of half and half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that how you kind of split your coaching up as well?
Yeah.
It must be quite complicated kind of juggling both lives.
Not really, because the coaches, they're actually good friends. So like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're good friends. So they work together to make me better.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to be working anyway.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Obviously, going into this year, you won the NCAAs again. Mm-hmm. And then you went to Lima, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And went pretty well.
Yeah, it went pretty well. Like I did a PR, 87.31, my first throw. I got super excited. I probably got overconfident. I felt like I could have thrown 90 meters on that day. But unfortunately, I had a bigger throw in that competition, actually. I had a throw.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, 88.70.
Mm-hmm.
But it was... I mean, it was too close to say it was a foul, and it was too close not to say it was a foul. So I'm just going to say I don't know what it was, but the throw went pretty far. I mean, it was a great competition, like, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Peru was pretty cold.
Yeah.
Like, all through to me, it was pretty cold, except the day that the javelin throwers had to throw. It was, like, it was perfect. It was, like,
really?
Like 70 degrees Fahrenheit. The sun was out, like, not too cold, not too hot. It was perfect.
Nice.
Yeah, so I thought that was a special thing for us javelin throwers to have on that day. Because everybody was complaining about the cold. And we just had like a nice sunny day.
Yeah, I saw whenever the bits I caught on TV, it looked cold and rainy and wet. But yeah, clearly it worked out for you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Afterwards, did you think a medal was possible at the World Championships?
Well, actually, like, as bad as I wanted it to, like I wanted a medal, I knew, like to myself, I was telling myself, I was like, even going, like flying to Doha, I was like, man, it's going to take 90 meters for me to get a medal.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the mindset I went in there. I was like, man, it's going to take 90 meters to win a medal. Because we had Magnus Kurt, who was throwing 90 meters like he was like he was a piece of cake all season. Then Vedder was just getting back into his groove,
mm-hmm.
doing 90 meters. Thomas Rolo was like, he's super experienced, so he could throw 90 meters at any time.
Yeah,
and we have Diego who threw 87 meters like right before the meet, so he's like, okay, he's on the up. So I thought to myself that he was going to take 90 meters to win a medal, but after the first round in the finals,
qualifying was kind of weird. Yeah, how it happened.
Like qualifying was terrible. For me, it was terrible. Like, so I got into the arena, like the warm-ups went fine, everything was going okay. As soon as they start the competition, man, my legs start shaking. Like, my legs were actually, like, shaking. I looked up to my coach. I was like, I was so scared. And then the guys, Vedder went in, did one throw, qualified. Then my turn came up. I was like, man, I got to qualify. See, I was thinking about that stand. The qualification stand was 84, so I was just thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Went down the runway, threw the javelin. It went 82 meters. Oh, I was even more scared now. I was even more scared now because I wanted it to qualify in the first throw.
Mm-hmm.
But like before my turn came around again, I calmed my nerves down. Like I think I was just anxious that first throw.
Did you have London in the back of your mind?
Exactly. So I was like, man, I got to make the finals. And then after my nerves got settled down, I went back for the second throw, made the stand at 85 meters.
Easy. Yeah.
Like I was like,
so yeah,
I was pressuring myself the first time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But that was it for the qualification for me.
Did you watch your other competitors?
Yeah, I watched them. Like I think it was like I don't know, like for Thomas Rolo, I really don't know like what happened to him. Like he had a bad meet. Like mm-hmm. I mean, being Olympic champion, man, having such a bad meet, like, I know he's disappointed.
Yeah.
I would be too.
Yeah.
I mean, I was actually looking forward for him to be in the final because I like competing against him.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the guys, they had good qualification round, like Vedder, Magnus, Kishan, Diego. Diego didn't make the standard, but he qualified for top 12.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But the finals, man, that was big boy games.
Yeah, what was going through your mind when you were lining up to go out there?
For the finals?
Yeah.
Well, before I went to the arena for the finals, like, I was getting my quads worked on because I was having knee pain all the time.
Mm-hmm.
and walked into the arena. Warm throws was going okay. Vedder was throwing some crazy 90-minute throws in the warm-up. Yeah.
Do you does that play on your mind mentally?
At first, I was like, whoa, what is going on? But then I was like, it's Vedder. Like, he's accustomed to doing that. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's him. Like, he could do that, like, easily. So I took my mind off of that. But I noticed when the competition started, like, everybody's attitude, like, changed. I noticed, like, from all the athletes, Keyshawn started the competition, had a bad throw, and that pretty much set the trend for the round. Mm-hmm. When my turn came around, I was like, man, I'm going to go out there and throw it as far as I could get a legal mark. Mm-hmm. Went out there, threw it, it went far. I was like, I took the lead, and I kept the lead, like, up until, like, the fifth round with Magnus Kurt threw, like, a few centimeters shot. So I was like, oh, let me see if I could extend that lead a little bit. Extended the lead, and then coming down to the final throw, I remember telling myself that, hey, I'm going to be the world champion. I was sitting there just repeating that, I'm going to be the world champion.
Did you know was it sealed? Because
it wasn't, like, everybody, like, it was, Vedder had a last throw, Magnus had a last throw, I had a last throw. So yeah. I knew I was getting a medal.
Oh, okay.
But at that point, I decided that I wanted to go. Unfortunately, Vedder went down. He didn't like throw so far, so he got the bronze. Magnus went down. Magnus was running down the runway, threw, popped his shoulder out of the joint. Mm-hmm. That was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that held up the competition for a little while, but I was the last throw.
So you knew that you were world champion whilst all that was going on. What was going through your mind?
Like, at first, I wasn't thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Like, when Magnus fell, I was just hoping that he was like going to be all right. Mm-hmm. And I was like praying to God, like, that didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
Because it's a scary thing throwing after that moment. And, like, seeing him laying there with his shoulder out and everything, like, the medical people carrying him up, like, I was scared a little bit. But then after they resumed the competition, like, the crowd started cheering, like, everything started going, so I became happy again. I became too happy, so I started running down the runway, and I was already smiling. I was already smiling when I was running down the runway. At the last moment, I gave it all I had. It went 84 meters, still pretty good, but I thought it went far. Because at that point, man, I just gave it all I had. And then, like, I actually fell to the ground, got up, and I was like, man, I'm the world champion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what was the reception like back home?
I went home mm-hmm. after Peru, went back to school, then left school, came to the world championship, left the world championship, went back to school. But I'm about to go home in a few weeks though, so hopefully the reception will be pretty good.
Good, awesome. Okay, and obviously next the Olympics, there's a lot going on. What's on your mind now? You're the world champion.
Well, I know I'm the world champion, but being the Olympic champion seems as a bigger title. Mm-hmm. A lot of the guys are coming, like, recovering from injury. Like, Neeraj Chopra, he did a surgery, so he was out this season. Mm-hmm. But he's coming back. I know he's going to be a pretty tough opponent. Also, the other guys that I beat at the world championship, they didn't take that so lightly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're going to be coming after me. Like, and then Thomas Roller, who has to defend his Olympic championship. Mm-hmm. It's like, everybody has, like, a target on their back, but it all comes down on the day. It's an open title. Like, if you want it, you got to come take it. And then nobody's going to hand it over that easy.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You excited?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
That is the end of this episode of the World Athletics Podcast. But if you want more athletics action, you can follow us on all social media platforms at World Athletics. Also, make sure you have rated and reviewed our podcast and subscribe, because on the next episode, we have an interview with world 800 meter champion Donovan Brazier.
I actually hate running. I don't even like running now, to be honest. Like, if I could do anything else, which I still think I'm going to do, I'm going to be like an NFL wide receiver. So that's like my goal after 2020 or 2024.
Really?
That's my goal.
No way. Yeah. Okay, wait. So as a kid, what sports did you do?
I did a lot of football and a lot of basketball, but never running. I was just small and I hit puberty late, so I was like a little kid on the football team, and I was just getting like bullied around and stuff like that. Like, I just couldn't fit in with the guys my age group, so I just kind of went with everybody else, all the misfits, and decided to join the cross country team.
all the misfits.
So
you just shaded literally everybody watching this right now.
They know what it is, you know what I mean? Like, it's just different.